Harbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody, Buckeye Bar guys, here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
Tonight's date is Thursday, November 16th, 2023. Some big news coming up out of good old Ann Arbor. So we will hit that tonight. First, we'll start off with the Michigan State game, and then we will finish up the show with the Minnesota game and going over some of the just some score predictions for the week as the regular season is almost over as we are chugging along into Thanksgiving week and, of course, the big one next weekend, which is getting bigger by the day with everything that's going on. But we'll hit that in a minute. Michigan State. So Buckeyes look very, very good starting off the game. It was nice to see them, you know, get a nice fast start. They got Marv involved. They got Trey involved. You know, McCord looked really good. Defense looked good. I mean, everything was pretty much hitting on all cylinders. I mean, Stover had some nice big catches and, you know, kind of like how we talked about, it was funny in the show last week, we both said, you know, get going early and then kind of, you know, get people out of the game in the second half. And that's kind of like how they did it. And so, you know, as obviously the eye is on the big prize next weekend. So, you know, it was efficient. It was like business-like, and then they moved on pretty quick into the second half.
Yeah. I mean, if there anything like anything that I just, you know, if I did have something nitpick, run defense did look a little leaky at different points, but I'm not going to dwell too much on that. I mean, just a lot of moving pieces still. And I mean, Michigan State didn't even get within Ohio State's 34 yard line. So, you know, it didn't look that bad. You know, if they didn't get anything past the 34, I think that's something that you can live with, even if there were a couple long runs on the day. I mean, they averaged 3.2 yards per carry. So it was nothing crazy. They just, you know, a couple of guys got some decent ones, but Ohio State's run game looked fine. They had 177 on the ground for 5.5 yards per carry. So not bad. McCord had an efficient day, over 300 yards, had two touchdowns to Marv, one touchdown to Cade Stover, all pretty good balls. I mean, the second one to Marv was just pretty much a pitch and catch, but outside, I mean, but he looked more in rhythm, I think, than, you know, really any point this season. So encouraging. I know you always got to take into consideration who they played, but even then it was just a lot more quicker, like a lot of in rhythm throws. And the one to Cade, I can't remember the quarter or the time. I'm sure you'll remember what I'm talking about though. It was like the play broke down and it was a shovel pass over the shoulder to Cade, and he had a big gain on it and just like showing a little bit of playmaking there for McCord, which is something that, you know, I think we've felt he's needed to show this year as well. So all in all, I think it was a really good game. I mean, defense played well. Young guys look good. Can't complain about it.
Yeah. I definitely liked how they did it. Yeah. And, you know, you can obviously say, well, it is Michigan State and stuff like that. But what did we see from McCord? His passes were on time. They hit the people that they needed hit. And, you know, I mean, he didn't make any bad throws that I can think of, like just like glaring bad throws. And he's had a couple of those throughout the year and almost every game where it's just like, you know, where's he throwing it there? I mean, actually probably his worst series. And, you know, they did drive the ball was probably that first series in the second half where he missed Marv a couple times down in the end zone where they could have got another touchdown. Yeah. I mean, that's just being nitpicky. I mean, I think that he really looked good. I thought, and yeah, you can say, well, yeah, Michigan State and stuff like that, but you could be playing a bad team and then still look subpar. I mean, it's better to look really good against a bad team than look bad against a bad team. And then it's like, then you're like, God, what's coming up here in a couple of weeks. So gives you some confidence, I think. And,
yeah.
You know, I think as long as everybody continues to play well around him and, you know, and they can continue to get some nice scheming to get Marv open. I mean, we talked about this. I mean, that, that counter run where they do the orbit motion behind it is like, you know, they literally are almost coming up with a play, a new play every week that's coming off of it. It's now kind of interesting to see where that will go. So, definitely interested in.
I'm still calling a passing touchdown for a skill player.
I could see Marv with that. You know, they handed it off to Marv in that formation this week. You know, I think we kind of, and I kind of mentioned, you said, well, I'd like the, you know, and I think we both are kind of on the same thought process. You know, G Scott, like, he went one way and then turned around to do a block on that, and, you know. So he faked one way and then turned around the lead block for Marv, you know, could he release, could him or Stover, could they release on that? And either McCord fake the handoff and throw it to him, or, you know, does Marv throw it to him?
Marv's throwing it. That's the next step of this play. Marv's throwing the ball. It
could be interesting. And, you know, that play was really cool. They, you know, they pulled the guards with Trey, and then they came back the other way, and Marv had a lead blocker with G. Yeah. So, I mean, it was well-designed. I mean, it was one of the, probably the, I mean, they've had some decent design plays this year. I mean, Ryan Day is who he is, but I would say it was the most creative play from all aspects all season. Like, I really liked it. Like, it was, and like that, he is starting to feel like, you know, kind of like that coach that he's been. And, you know, he kind of goes through these periods where, you know, you think about Notre Dame, but, you know, maybe he's being a little too conservative. But I think early in the season, he knew what he had. He had, you know, Kyle was new, and he was trying to not overwhelm him and try to, you know, continue to build up his confidence. And they've kind of the last couple of weeks, and, you know, Kyle's had some, you know, he had some inconsistencies against, you know, Wisconsin and stuff, but, and Penn State and
Rutgers. It's
like, yeah, Rutgers. I knew there was another game in there. I couldn't think of what it was, but it's like we've always seen him this year where he seems like he's really come out lights out in the first, second half. And but it was nice to see him do it in the first half. And I've got, this team starts fast with that defense. Like, if they can get up a couple scores on people, it's going to be really hard to beat them. Like,
agreed. Definitely agree with that. Yeah. So I don't really got any more to take away from the game. I felt pretty good about it. I mean, it was kind of a sleepy game, but it was good that McCord got going quick. I shouldn't say sleepy. It got boring in the second half against a bad team. Cause you know, Day could have put up 70 if he wanted to, but he went out, put up three in the second half, which is fine. Yeah. I mean, whatever. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. I saw some, I did see some Buckeye fans, like, you know, kind of nitpicky on that one on Twitter, that maybe he should have let the young kids kind of go at it a little bit more. Yeah. I mean, you can argue that point. Like, I think he knows what's in front of him. He's got Michigan. And hopefully a playoff run. And I think I think they're probably going to try it again on Saturday. You know, let's get up fast on these guys, and then let's coast in the second half. And I'm fine with that. Like, you know,
health is the biggest thing right now.
Yeah. Like, you know, we got some banged up players. So yeah, getting some people back is important, and not adding any more to those injuries.
Right.
And so I think that's the most important thing. And, you know, I mean, does it really matter that when all your starters are out that, you know, they're just running the ball? No, it's fine. I mean, trust me, getting into the games, that was good things for Lincoln. It was good for Jelani. You know, it was good for some of the guys on the defensive side. You don't know. You might need one of these guys might have to step up for something. And it was nice to see them, be able to, get some playing time in there. You know, I did want to mention one guy on the defense that I was really impressed with, and that was Malik Hartford. I mean, I think that he really balled out, and that's a good sign because it seems like Latham's not going to be back for the regular season, possibly for the rest of the year. I mean, based on everything off what we heard from Day this week. So I would have to imagine that, you know, even if Proctor's back, and it seems like Proctor is going to be back this week, you know, you still want to have a third safety, and, you know, that's Malik. So it's like, you know, it's nice to see him play the most snaps in the game, and he got a lot of good run in there, and, you know, good for him. He looked pretty good, and, you know, he was a little shaky early in the game, but I mean, he had some big stops where he came up and made some big plays. He almost had a interception. Was that this week or last week? I can't remember now. That I think it was this past game, right? That where he.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Because the game before was Rutgers, right?
Yeah, and he came in the second half. Yeah, it wasn't Rutgers. But he had some very nice plays and stuff like that. And that's good because, like you said, you don't know if we're going to need him here in a couple weeks next weekend. And, you know, so it's good to, you know, get some of that rust off of it from, you know, not playing a lot from beginning of the season. So, you know, I was really happy to watch how he performed.
Yeah, absolutely.
All righty. So we'll close the book on Michigan State.
Unless you want to touch on special team snafus.
I don't want to, because
we'll talk too long about that.
Yeah.
It's just more of the same, you know, whatever.
We've made our points clear. And I think that fake punt. I mean, I think we were all saying we were all yelling it here. Like,
I feel like the only person alive that didn't and they were in a safe defense too. So I don't understand how that was so easy, but because I feel like everyone alive knew that was going to be a fake punt. You know, we were saying it. I think they said it over the TV. I mean, from what I gathered from the Buckeye beat writers, they all knew it was coming. So I don't know how that happens. I mean, that was one of the easiest converted fake punts where you knew a fake punt was coming that I had ever seen.
Yeah, I just hope it doesn't cost them a game. I think that it's coming. I don't think Ryan Day is going to do it in season, especially towards the end of the year. He's definitely not doing it now. You know. Hopefully it just doesn't cost them a game here. But I think the big thing with that is that I'm ready to move on, and it's nothing against Parker. I just think that it's a lot for him just to do one job. And I know Day says, well, he helps out in some other spots, and that's fine. But they have a full-time special teams assistant that's making that much money, and
you don't look good.
Right. And Ryan Day has said it multiple times, there's communication issues. Well, who's supposed to be communicating that? It's your coach. So there's something thrown off there you can blame the players and blame the players and blame the players. But at the end of the day, the coach has to take the responsibility. You know, it's Ryan Day's job. I mean, it doesn't matter if the players all play bad. At the end of the day, Ryan Day has responsibility for the whole team. Well, each one of the position coaches have responsibility for their position. And when you have a guy on your staff that from everybody says that, you know, he's very good on the phones with the linebackers and stuff like that, and James Laurinaitis, and he's taken on a lot of responsibilities since Knowles is the defensive coordinator. I want to see what James Laurinaitis looks like, you know, as a full-time. And I think that's what makes this decision, even though I'm ready to make the decision, I think that makes the decision even easier. You know, Keegan has done special teams. Eliano's done special teams. I'm sure James could do special teams. Like, they could special teams. There's very few teams in the country that has a full-time special teams coach. You know, Urban never did. Urban was the special teams coach, and Kerry helped him out. Like, so it was I don't know.
All right, moving on.
All right. So word came down earlier today that, you know, even though all the chest thumping and everything else that was going on up north, they are ready for their day in court tomorrow, you know, as they were going to get the injunction to lift the suspension and blah, 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 all this stuff. And they dropped their lawsuit today, and they accept, not only did they drop their lawsuit, but they accepted the 3-game suspension. So Jim Harbaugh will not be on the sidelines against Ohio State next week. And according to Michigan, is, you know, when you read the Michigan press release, they came to an agreement. You know, the Big Ten's going to drop their investigation, and you know, they'll accept the 3-game suspension. But when you read the Big Ten statement, is that as of now, you know, they levied out the punishment that they're going to levy out, and nothing more is going to come to it. you know, unless more stuff comes out of the NCAA investigation, which, you know, they're still assisting the NCAA, you know, they're still working with Michigan to assist the NCAA. And basically a lot of their fan base, it pretty much feels like, was led on by a lot of their insiders that this was going to be a big fight. And, you know, it basically is that Jim Harbaugh, you know, unless they make the playoffs or make the Big Ten title game, he is pretty much done for the, he's done for the regular season. He's still going to be coaching throughout the week and stuff like that. It's still his game plan, but, you know, yep, here we are.
Felt like they've been led on, man. Everything from Michigan and their insiders has been window dressing this entire time. Like, and it's been so obvious to see anytime that they say anything positive or when this is finally going to go Michigan's way, or we got evidence on these guys, some bad news happens to Michigan later that night. Like, this whole thing is just like, it's been a scam for them to try to, like, I don't know if it's just the optics or if it's just to keep the fan base like confident, encouraged. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, we'll see more as it develops. I don't think this is the end of it. I mean, you know, coaches don't just delete Twitter accounts a month before signing day. So I mean, that's interesting. Maybe he does. I don't know. Maybe that's his thing. Maybe they told all the coaches, like, do what you have to do. I don't know, but it feels weird that time, you know, this time of year that it's the DB coach, co-defensive coordinator, was it Steve Clinkscale? He's the one that deleted, which
outright deletes his Twitter. And like you said, this is 2023. This isn't 2006. Like, all the recruits are online. And literally signing day is right around the corner. I mean, it's going to be here in 4 weeks, and they are one of their better, you know, recruiters is, so there's a lot of speculation, you know, what did he know? What did he not know? You know, I'm not going to throw a bunch of stuff out there. It kind of feels like he got fired, and just like, and then it's like, this whole thing then with Harbaugh comes down like right afterwards. And it's like, now it doesn't seem like a lot of people are talking about that anymore. It's like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
And, you know, and some of their insiders, which is, you know, been beating their chest and all these boards, message boards and all this stuff for out the last, how many weeks, you know, they all started getting information earlier today that things are not looking good. And then this stuff starts dropping and it's like, okay. And I think me and you, we talked about it a little bit ago. I think they wanted a quick decision last weekend, you know, that, you know, they thought they were going to get this injunction right away. Maybe he'd have to miss Penn State, but, you know, he was going to get an injunction. But the Big Ten, they challenged it. They wanted a hearing. They got a lawyer that, you know, is a member of the Bar Association of the state of Michigan, and that they could hear cases in Michigan. And so they were ready to go to fight with it. And it just kind of seems like to me, as the week went on, and then you start hearing that they're kind of working out a deal that was sort of coming out a little bit yesterday. And I was just like, at first I just figured, okay, well, he'll take the 2-game suspension. He'll be back for next week. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize the deal was going to be like, you're going to get nothing out of it. You're going to accept the original suspension, and, you know, and then we'll let the NCAA deal with you. I didn't realize that was the deal, because that doesn't seem like a winning deal to me.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan really, them and their fans really dressed up that the crap outcome that was, because they're all like, you know, praising that the investigation's over. And it's like, no, one, no, two, you just agreed. Like, all you did was agree to the terms of the original suspension. Like, there was no, you know, compromise. There wasn't like it ended up being a 2-game. Nope. They just said, yep, we'll take what you gave us. So yeah. To create this much noise and just do that, I mean, and I told you, like, go before, we're not going to wildly speculate or anything like that, but there's got to be something. Like, they showed them something. They showed them something. It was like, listen, man, this can get real bad real quick. And they're like, yep, we'll take the 3 games.
Yeah, I think probably, I don't know how much more they showed them. I mean, obviously, it seemed like when you read the
big, or it was a bluff the entire time.
when the Big Ten, when you read the Big Ten report, the Big Ten obviously had stuff. The NCAA shared stuff with it. So they had stuff. I think they were probably nervous and they probably got good legal advice. Like, hey, the NCAA doesn't have subpoena power, but if we go to court and something comes out in court, well, the NCAA now can use that. And if it's something the NCAA doesn't know that just comes out of court, you know, well, once it comes out, there's no taking backs. Like, you can't be like, well, you can't use that, the NCAA. Yeah, they can. Once it's public knowledge, it's out there and it can be used. So
Connor Stallions would perjure himself in a heartbeat, though. You know that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not even necessarily him. I mean, what if, like, you know, I mean, you don't know. Just things come out in discovery. And when lawyers are involved and stuff, like, at that point, yeah, cards have to start being shown. And if you're going to go have some sort of hearing, well, what do you got? Like, the judge would literally ask, you know, here's what Michigan is saying, that they are having irreparable harm and this needs to be lifted. And then the Big Ten would like, well, here's the information that we have, the reason why we suspended it. And maybe the Big Ten thinks that them and the NCAA have everything exactly the same, but maybe the Big Ten has that one piece of information that the NCAA doesn't even know about that. Yeah. You know, one of the schools handed over to the Big Ten, thinking that maybe it was handed over to the NCAA. It wasn't. And then out of nowhere, it was like, oh, the NCAA's, well, we didn't know that. And that's now even worse. And, you know, I mean, it was pretty much in the Big Ten statement to Michigan that, you know, everything that has been known and can be proven. So I just think Michigan probably finally decided, after all the chest beating and stuff like that, that, you know, hey, this is a legal proceeding. We're going to have a hearing and, you know, information could come out in said hearing.
Right.
And, you know, the Big Ten might ask, you know, the judge might want, or you know, the lawyers might be like, hey, if Jim Harbaugh needs a restraining order, he needs to take the stand of some sort and, you know, answer some questions. And does he really want to be under oath? Because guess what? If he answers a question and then 6 months from now, the NCAA comes out and it's proven in there that he knew something and he said he didn't know anything. Well, guess what? You just perjured yourself. And then at that point, that is actually a crime. And, like, you know, they could come back on you and file a crime against you. So it's like, you know, I just think it's a lot of different things that probably Michigan's like, well, let's hope we win out with these guys. We'll get Harbaugh back for the postseason if we can win out. And, you know, most likely he's probably gone next year anyway. So let's make the best out of this situation.
Right.
But,
and that's what this all is. I mean, it's them just trying to get past the finish line, which I don't blame them. I mean, no, if this happened to Ohio State, I mean, I can't believe our fan base is actually, you know, has more of a moral compass than Michigan's does. But I mean, half of our fan base would probably be saying Ryan Day deserves to be suspended or fired right now. I mean, they did the same thing to Urban. They did the same thing to Trussell.
Yeah. I remember plenty of people. Yeah. That were on their stuff with that. Like, even there was a lot of fans that are like, hey, we need to wait to hear more information. And there was a lot of fans like, no, it was under his watch and, you know, he should be gone in both situations.
Guys, and like, so, you and me though, if we made it past the finish line as champions and then they took it back next year, we wouldn't care. We would say we won it on the field. So, I mean, I get where their fan base is coming from and I get what they're trying to do, but I don't know. Like, and I've said this from the beginning and I've gone back and forth with, you know, Michigan fans that think that, you know, it's a big nothing burger or whatever. Like, the NCAA just, like, they're lazy, man. They don't just, like, want to create issues because they don't want to do the investigation. Like, they don't care. Like, this would have never gotten to this point unless there was something there. Like, the Big Ten wouldn't go after Michigan if there was nothing there. Like, that's the thing. Like, and they don't understand it. They just think that, oh, lone wolf, whatever, that bought his own tickets and did it himself and wanted to impress. Like, even that in itself is lack of institutional control. And maybe it's just a sum of all the parts that, like, you've had too much crap go on the last 2 years. Like, this is just the last straw. We're, you know, you're donezo after this. And maybe the Big Ten feels the same way, but I just, feel, you know, it doesn't get here if there's not something substantial.
Yeah. And, you know, and the fact that all, it seems like that all the schools are behind the commissioner on this one. And, you know, we talked about this. I can't remember. We talked about it last week, but we definitely have talked about it in private. For the small schools in this conference, is the Purdue, the Indianas and stuff like that. The possibility that you could, if like say there was nothing hanging over Michigan at all, Ohio State or Michigan, it doesn't matter who wins, whoever wins next week is undefeated, but it's a really good game. There is still that possibility that that second school is in. Now, if Michigan loses next week, you know, me and you've kind of speculated. I think at that point, the committee is going to hammer them. I think they are going to make sure they are behind all the one loss teams. Then that way there is just no
drama.
They can put, they will always have a one loss team that they can put into that playoff over Michigan. And yeah. I just think that is, that will probably be the safest approach. And that's the approach they're going to take. None of these small schools or the non-money schools in this conference, the Purdue's, the Indiana's, they're not going to turn down. If Michigan and Ohio State both make the playoffs, that's what, almost $20 million in extra revenue for the conference, and that gets split up equally. So the fact that they're willing to turn down money just shows how aggrieved they are.
And it stays in the athletic departments, right? Or no?
Yeah, like, okay. Yeah, it's for the athletic department.
So, yeah, so, I mean, there's no way in hell, like, and I love it because they're all like, oh, the entire Big Ten conspiring against us because we're winners and they're tired of losing. Like, no conference believes that, man. They want that money for their athletic department. Like, yeah, that's free money for Purdue. Like, are you kidding me?
And I don't know if the other conferences do it, but I know in the Big Ten, all the postseason bowl money is put together in one pot and it's divvied out equally amongst everybody.
I think so, it is.
Like Ohio State, literally, and Michigan and those schools, they make a lot of money. I mean, how much money do you think Ohio State makes when they go to the playoffs that gets, you know, three and nine Purdue? They absolutely love it. That is extra free money on top of the free money that they get from the freaking the television deal. So it's like, yeah, we want you all in. And make as many as possible. So, and make money. And hopefully one of you guys make the damn title game. I mean,
right.
You know, they made a boatload of cash because of those two playoff games last year. And, you know, I wish, you know, they probably the rest of the teams in the conference wish one of them would have won.
More
money.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But so yeah. I don't think it gets to this point if there's nothing there, but that's just me. And I might have definitive statements about it, but I don't have anything, you know, concrete to fall off. It feels like that they would not blow this much out of proportion if there was nothing there.
Yeah. And it was just funny on the co-defensive court, whatever is going on with that.
That's just weird.
And we both talked about this. Like, I think Michigan kind of had two choices in this whole matter. It's like, and you know, and I think the choice that the Big Ten gave them was probably the better choice for Michigan. It's like, Harbaugh can coach during the week, but he gets 3 games suspension. Like, they could have been like, Harbaugh's fine, but your coordinators are suspended for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And like, you know, because, you know, we can see it is on film. Like, you know, this guy, they can't say that they don't know who. Like,
right.
Who's some random dude's like, oh, they're running right. Yeah. Like, okay. You obviously
on the first play of the game.
Yeah. You're obviously that. We can prove that they know something about it. At least, you know, this is not a court of law. That's what Michigan. Well, this is not a court of law. Again, it's not a court of law on both sides of it. Like,
right.
The Big Ten does. All the Big Ten has to do is watch video. Been like, well, we can probably conclusively, there's enough evidence there that we say they probably know who that guy is.
Yeah, like for sure. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we'll let it play out. If we get more news, you know, we'll talk about it as it keeps going on.
Yeah. All righty. Minnesota.
Okay.
Minnesota.
Well, I don't think this is going to be a particularly difficult game. I mean, I hope things aren't leaky or anything that it looks worse than, you know, on Ohio State's part than what it should. Cause Minnesota's 5-5. You know, I think anybody that can actually throw the ball has been able to throw the ball on them. They gave up points to Purdue last week. Michigan, of course, you know, PJ Fleck, I think, said that that was the best college team he's ever coached against or something at the beginning of the year. So they're not very good. I believe their quarterback's only thrown for 200 yards twice this year. So I don't see them challenging us much. So what I would like to see, of course, being able, you know, confidently stopping the run, just having good run defense, yep. Keep the passing game, you know, looking good again, look sharp again for the first half, and then get the starters out as quickly as you can, as quickly as you feel comfortable, and just hit on the running game, keep evolving the run game. I think, you know, those are the main things I want. I know I'm not going too much into it. I just don't see it being much of a game. I mean, I think they do have a good cornerback, so that might be a challenge for Marv, but usually Marv ends up winning that as long as, you know, teams aren't doing a soft bracket double or soft zone on him.
I have like just the kind of like just the thought process, because we've talked about similar like things like this before. Now, obviously, Rutgers and Minnesota, they can't throw like Michigan can, and you know, in Wisconsin, they got a good running game. Does it kind of help you in your mind? Does it help Ohio State's defense some that they've kind of played some better running teams coming down the stretch before going into the Michigan game? Because like we've talked in the past, like, I have never liked like when you play like a Maryland or a Purdue and a couple of these kind of spread teams prior to playing a Michigan or Penn State. Yeah. It's like, I kind of want it to be like, it's just kind of like a physicality. You kind of got to gear yourself up to before playing somebody. And we might be completely off base come the end of next weekend, but I think, you know, Minnesota's going to run the ball a lot on them this week. You know, Rutgers ran the ball on them last. And I think part of me thinks that, you know, like, even though, you know, Rutgers got a lot of yards and stuff, but you're also dealing with a lot of injuries. So it's like, if you get some guys back healthy for next week, that maybe this doesn't necessarily hurt them, that, you know, they are playing some run heavy teams that, you know, and, you know, you got some good shutdown corners. So maybe Knowles kind of feels some confidence going into, you know, with the kind of defense approach next week, been like, okay, we've seen some of this stuff. We've seen, I'm not going to say they're one for one the same as Michigan, because they're not, but maybe we've seen some similarities in there that I know I got my shutdown corners. I know they can play on some islands this year that maybe we couldn't have last year. So like I can deal with the physicality because we've had some games this last few weeks with it.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, you haven't always looked great against the run in the stretch and against Notre Dame. So, I mean, that could be worrisome, but it's a lot of data to collect, right? I mean, it's a lot of stuff you've continuously been working on, and you can really put it into, you know, practice next week, even though that's not a lot of time if it's still an issue. So, I mean, there's that side of it, but I agree with you. Like playing, you know, your last half of the season being Penn State, Rutgers, Wisconsin, Braylon Allen did get hurt, but you know, they run the ball. And they had a quarterback that, you know, could scramble. Again, we didn't do great against it, but it was something to see put on tape so we could practice it. Of course, Gavin Wimsatt from Rutgers, you know, he's a guy that can run. Again, didn't do great stopping it, but it's something that you see, you can practice now. Michigan State ran a little bit. So yeah, these guys are going to run. And if there's any team, like you said, this is not Michigan. So I am in no way saying, you know, if you can stop this run game, you're going to be able to stop Michigan's. Yeah. If there's any team that's going to use the resource and put extra linemen out there, though, it's probably going to be Minnesota. So you could see some things that are going to be similar to what you're going to see the next week. Yeah. So I agree with you completely.
I just like that, like you said, they have data points now. So it's things that like Knowles has seen. So like he can, okay, this could be worrisome if Michigan does this against us. And, you know, Michigan's seeing the same thing. So like he can kind of plan, like, I'm going to assume Michigan's going to try to come at us at this spot because Minnesota had some success there and Rutgers had some success there. So he can kind of scheme to it a little bit more. I think that, and this stuff with coaches, I mean, these are all chess matches, you know, I mean, and obviously Knowles, that's right up his alley. So I just think it's better to have the data points, even if they've looked shaky in spots, to not have them.
Agreed.
So at least if you played a bunch of spread teams coming down the stretch, it's like, you know, then you don't know.
Right.
It's like,
what value does that give you if a team just tries to throw on you and your secondary doesn't let them do anything? Like, you have no idea what's coming up the middle then. So, I mean, this at least gives you an idea of ways to plan around if things do start going sideways against Michigan on the run game. But even then, with the running defense, and not to get into this too long, and I know there's been shaky parts, but nothing's been sustained this year, you know? And it's not, you haven't played great competition. So I'm not going to say that, you know, any one of these teams could do it. Notre Dame might have started a little too late, or they might have gave up on it a little too early, depending on, you know, what you want to say about that. But even Notre Dame, theirs didn't start until the second half. Like, and a lot of that, I don't think they actually wore down Ohio State. I think Ohio State was just in bad spots, you know? So, because Ohio State, when they came out and they made plays when they had to in that last drive, and I know Notre Dame dropped back to throw the ball, their own stupidity, but it wasn't like our guys were just totally gassed, you know? So, I mean, it hasn't been sustained this year against them, and people can cherry pick stats and highlights all they want, but fact remains, Ohio State's still undefeated. Their defense is playing great. They are good against the run. They're great against the pass. And I don't know if Michigan, you know, we're not jumping to that game yet, but I don't know if you can just run the ball 50 times on Ohio State and not be able to do anything in the air. But to go back, you know, data points are good, and I think this is going to be helpful.
It shows how excited we are for tomorrow.
I know.
On Saturday's game.
I know. You don't want to skip over it. You fall into traps sometimes. I mean, the only time I can really remember outside of 11, of course, was what, 2007, when we both lost the weekend before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think both teams they're going to handle business on Saturday, I would think. But of course, everyone's anxious and amped up already for the 25th. And especially with all this stuff going on in Ann Arbor, I mean, that's going to be a chippy, just violent game.
Yeah, no, it's going to be, you know, 1-2 was nuts in 2006, but it was a different type of nuts. And then it kind of sombers out the closer you get to the game because of Bo's death.
Yeah.
And obviously we'll get a lot more into this next week, but this is going to be the game. This is probably, for as chippy as sometimes this game can get, this is going to probably be the most hated. Like, you know, it's like, I hope there's not like full blown brawl, but kind of feels like that
one
could break out of this game.
They got to keep their guys cool because, you know, they get a little, they like to muck stuff up to try to get personal fouls on the other side when they're at home. So got to be careful with that stuff. But all right, I think I've said enough about Minnesota though. What would you like to add to that? Anything?
Yeah, I just think, you know, again, I just do what you did last week. You know, I think, let's gear up. I'd like to see Knowles gear up to go against the run. I don't know if I want Tommy to play though, but it's like, let's get some big bodies in there. You know, maybe get some of your bigger D tackles. I know Hall's a little hurt, but let's use this, that this is a scrimmage for next week.
Yeah, exactly. Cause these guys can't throw that well.
This is a sparring partner. The sparring partner is not as good as the guy you're getting ready to fight. But, you know, he's supposed to give you looks of what the guy you are supposed to be fighting. So, you know, Minnesota is the sparring partner for Michigan. So let's use it like that, you know, and offensively get up on these guys quick, just like you did last week.
Yeah.
And get the guys out. Like, I don't want to see our guys in there that long in the second half. I'm sorry. Like, you should be able to score 5 touchdowns in the first half on these guys, and you should be able to ride that away to the end of the game. And that's A-okay with me. I do not care if this team scores 28, 35 points in the first half and then wins the game, you know, 31, 38, 42 to whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter to me at that point. Like, next week is what matters, and what's coming after next week if you win. Like, you know, it's time to gear up to go win a championship. And so, like, I'm fine treating these games like they are preseason games. Like, I'm sorry. Like, go beat them, get out in front of them, and then stay healthy.
Couldn't agree more. Okay, so, I mean, you want to talk about some games around the country, or?
Yeah, let's hit some of the, just a couple of the, I know we went with Georgia, Tennessee. Let's hit a couple of the big games and then we'll go Big Ten. So pick a couple of the decent big games and then we'll do Big Ten and call it a night.
Okay. I mean, there's not really many good games because this is, you know, what's known. This is kind of like the calm before the storm for a lot of teams. So Louisville's ranked 10th. They're going to Miami this weekend. Miami is ranked, or I'm not ranked at all, but Miami is a 1-point favorite in the game. I don't know. I haven't really been too impressed with Miami. I think Louisville's actually been pretty for real this year. So I think Louisville's going to win this game outright.
I think they're going to win too. I think, you know,
Miami home field means nothing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, is Louisville automatically clinched the ACC title game?
Or, I think they need this one to clinch.
Okay. So they want to go there and, you know, that'll be, you know, if they could upset Florida State, you know, that's a big win for them. And, you know, they could get a nice New Year's Six Bowl.
Yeah.
And so that's like, yeah, I think I like what Brom's doing there. That could be an interesting team going forward in the ACC. So, yeah, I say Louisville beats Miami.
Utah ranked 22nd goes to Arizona ranked 17th. Arizona's a 1-point favorite. Utah's not really the team. I don't know. I know they're coming off a tough loss. They're not the team though. I think that lets like their emotions get the best of them. They have down games like that. So I do think that they're going to pull the upright or outright win against Arizona as well. So I got two road outrights already.
Yeah. I'll say Arizona. I've been fairly impressed with how Arizona's looked this year. You know, they've given some, you know, I think about the game they gave to Washington and stuff like that. So I'll say Arizona wins.
All right. Number one, Georgia heads to Tennessee. Tennessee does have usually a pretty good home field advantage. Georgia's only, which only sounds crazy, but they're only a 10-point favorite in this game. I don't think Tennessee's, I don't know. I don't think they're that good. I think Georgia's going to cover this pretty easily, actually.
It's kind of like, I mean, it's a little different than Ohio State, but it's kind of feeling like them and Ohio State. It's like they're both turning it up like at the right time. Yeah. So I think the last couple of weeks what we saw of Georgia, that is a, you know, a couple of weeks ago I was like, you know, I think Alabama could easily win the SEC, and I'm starting to, you know, think that might be a pretty big time battle because, you know, I definitely like how Georgia's played the last few weeks, and I think they're starting to gear up for their playoff run.
Yeah, and they know what's in front of them for that playoff run too. So there's a big baddie going to wait for them in Atlanta. North Carolina heads to Death Valley to play Clemson. North Carolina is ranked 20th. Clemson's a 7.5-point favorite. I got no read on Clemson. They're 6-4 for the year. Carolina's 8-2. I'm going to say Clemson wins, but they don't cover the 7.5.
Yeah, I'm saying Carolina wins. I think they're just slightly better. I'm surprised it's 7.5. I mean, I don't think Death Valley is that big of a,
just, this know. Is not a good Clemson team.
Yeah. I don't get that one. I mean, if you say like Clemson's a 3 or 4-point favorite, I'd be like, okay, I understand that, but like they're home but it's just not a good Clemson team. And you know, I think North Carolina wins.
Kansas State goes to Kansas. 7 o'clock game. Kansas State's 21st. Kansas is 25. Both are 7-3. Kansas State is a 9.5-point favorite on the road. You know, whatever that matters in state. I think Kansas State will win, but I think it's going to be, you know, within the 9.5.
Yeah, I'll go Kansas State on this one. But again, I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a nice little rivalry game. You know, might actually watch a little bit of this one Saturday night.
So, I think I will. You know. Oregon State hosts Washington. So 10-0, number 5, Washington, 8-2, Oregon State. Oregon State's a 1-point favorite. I'm going to say Oregon State wins.
Like, I've been going back and forth with this one because I really think I'm waiting for Washington to trip up one of these games. And like, because, you know, they just have had some issues, but
they keep finding ways. It's almost like they've turned the corner with their offense too. Their offense got stagnant and then it started to like ramp back up now.
Yeah. I think Washington will win, but I do think that either this week, next week, or the the championship game, they're in a threat to lose one of those games. I think somebody's going to get them, but I'll go with Washington this week.
I'm throwing this one out there because it's interesting. Texas is number 7. It's a night game, 8 p.m. Iowa State's unranked. They're 6-4. Texas is a 7.5-point favorite. Texas did just lose their starting running back, though. And, you know, their quarterback situation, I think Quinn's back, but it's been kind of iffy. Any chance for an upset in Ames?
No, but I think that I would take the Cyclones in this game if I was betting the spread. I think it'll be close, but they played better than what they started off as down here. There was some talk that, you know, this might be Matt Campbell's, you know, last year there, that, you know, maybe, you know, they were going, you know, was a time to go in a different direction. I think he probably, you know, has saved that, you know, they realized that they probably not going to find a better coach than him. No, I think it'll be a tough game. You know, Iowa State always plays the toughest. You know, it must be the Iowa thing. It's so I think it'll be close, but I think Texas will pull it out.
All right, let's go to the Big Ten. All right, Nooner, Michigan, Maryland. Michigan is they're on the road. They're a 19-point favorite. I don't know. Like, I feel like, I mean, Maryland can do more offensively than what Penn State did. So I think that'll be interesting. Of course, Maryland doesn't have anywhere near the defense Penn State did. So I think Michigan probably should be all handled, but it was a close game last year. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is within the 19, but I'm going to go ahead and say Michigan wins and covers.
I think Michigan is going to win big in this game. I think that this is the game they're going to rally. And I think that's going to be the false rally. I think it's going to be like, everybody's going to be like, they're going to be fine. Ohio State's this, Ohio State's that. And then the buzzsaws next weekend. I think they'll handle Maryland. I think they're going to want to come out after this and just hit somebody like, you know, there's no tomorrow. And so, you know, and I think it will give them some false confidence that, you know, they beat Ohio State before. But, you know, I think Ohio State's coming in with the same thought processes. You know, it's prover point now for next week. But I think Michigan covers easily.
Rutgers goes to Happy Valley at 12. Penn State's a 20.5-point favorite.
I don't get that one. I won't lie.
I don't get it either. But Rutgers, like, I don't know if either team's getting the 20 points in this game. I really don't. Like, I could see this be like a 10-3 Penn State win. Rutgers has a good defense. The only thing that scares me about this game is Penn State is going to have the ball a ton because Rutgers offense isn't very good.
Yeah, but Rutgers can run the ball.
They can Michigan run the ball.
And Michigan just ran all over them. So,
like, and Ohio State, honestly, like, and I know people are going, well, look at the numbers. Like, Ohio State, I mean, if running backs were different, Ohio State probably could have ran much better against Penn State.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's, you know, that's whatever. That's here. That's gone. But yeah, I guess you're right. I guess there is a chance that Rutgers can run on Penn State.
I think Penn State wins, but I think it's going to be like, I don't know, 17-10.
I don't think either team gets the 20 in this. I really don't.
I just think it's going to be a really close game. And, you know, they both have good defenses. And I think Penn State's susceptible to the running game. And the first half against Ohio State, they were very susceptible. It's just Mayan Williams, like, and obviously you don't know how hurt he really was. Like, you know, so
like they started calling some predictable over and over the same run play. And Mayan was trying to make something that was being blitzed and stopped. And
after you saw what Michigan did to them, if Trey would have been playing in that game, like, there's no doubt in my mind that Trey would have did, maybe they wouldn't have ran for what, 300 something yards like Michigan did, because that's just not Ohio
State style. Two something,
whatever it was. I mean, it felt like it was at that point in the second half, it felt like, but
they were running for like 3 yards a clip. That wasn't,
I know, it just, they just kept on. I mean, I'm not taking any of that game. It's nothing like, it wasn't the dominant performance that they had last year against Penn State.
Right.
But Like, I think if Trey was in that game, I think, you know, Trey rents for $1.50 on them. The way that Mayan was having holes in the first half, I think that they would have ran probably all over him.
I mean, if Trey played in that game, he got that speed option that they ran with Mayan, he probably would have housed that ball. So, yeah, there was definitely room for a lot more rushing yards for Ohio State in that game. All right.
Yeah.
So
I'll say Penn State barely wins, but it'll be a close one.
I agree. And that's always when Penn State puts up like 50 points too, is when I say they can't score. So won't be surprised if that happens. Michigan State, Indiana. Indiana's a 3.5 point favorite. They're both really bad. teams have a habit of not playing their best after playing Ohio State though. So I'm going to say Indiana wins this game, covers the 3.5.
Yeah, I'll say that too. God. Big Ten football.
Whew. I know. Purdue travels to Northwestern.
Another one.
Yep. Purdue's a 3-point favorite. I think Northwestern's going to win outright at home.
Yeah. I like how they've have.
That would make them bowl eligible.
I like how they've circled the wagons for this coach. And, you know, so, you know, and he got the gig. He's no longer the interim. So, you know, congratulations. And, you know, we might be playing him in Wrigley next year. Who knows?
Right. excuse me. Illinois goes to Iowa at 3:30. Iowa's a 3-point favorite. If it wasn't in Kinnick, I would say Illinois, because that's just how the West works. But I think Iowa will win this game.
Yeah, me
too. They cover the 3.
They'll win 13-6.
Yeah, that sounds about right. 7:30 on NBC. Oof. Nebraska, Wisconsin, battle of 5 and 5s. Wisconsin's home. They're a 5.5 favorite. So a lot of 5s in this game. They just lost at home. So, you know, I'm going to say that Wisconsin will win this one, but they don't cover. For no good reason, because it's the Big Ten West.
I think this is the game where Rule puts them as bowl eligible. So Nebraska wins.
All right. Then at 4:00 on the Big Ten Network in Columbus, Ohio, the No. 2 Buckeyes, 10-0, host the Minnesota Golden Gophers at 5-5. Ohio State is a 27.5 point favorite. I think they cover it. I have kind of similar to last week. I'm going to say 42. No, I'm sorry. I had 41-6 for this game, which I believe that was actually maybe your prediction last week. So
I don't remember.
That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going with this one, though. I think they cover. I think it's going to be an easy game. I don't think Minnesota has much of an offense. I mean, there could always be some garbage time touchdowns or something, but I do think Ohio State can win this pretty easily, pretty handedly. And 41-6 is where I'm going.
Yeah, I think you actually had 42 last week. I might actually go to the 42. I think they're going to get 6 scoring opportunities again, and they're going to score those 6. They all might be in the first half. Who knows? And then they're going to just ease their way through it. But I think this is going to be their first shutout of the year. So 42-0.
You know, that would keep them. That would keep them under 100 points given up this year if they did that. Still,
yeah, I think. I don't see Minnesota be able to move the ball that well on them. I think they will shut down Minnesota's run and, you know, the big ones next week. So let's get ready for it. But yep,
stay focused.
Ohio State. So say Ohio State big.
All right. Well, I'm good. Anything else you want to touch?
I'm good too.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for stopping in tonight to the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
I'm Mike.
OH.
IO.
Go Buckeyes. Thanks.